Okay, so after all these talks, I hope you have a deep theoretical background, all this Y system and Hirota equations, TBA, all this kind of technique. And now I'm going to explain how to actually apply all this machinery to some solid computation. So let me start from some brief review of what you know probably. I will always assume ideas-safety correspondence to be valid, which tells that the spectrum of anomalous dimension of n equal 4 superangular theory coincides with the spectrum of some two-dimensional integrable field theory. And then, based on this assumption, I will show how it's possible to give some prediction for some gauge operators. What's important is the symmetry, which is PSU 224, and then the beta equations, they can be written in this form. And for each node of the Dynkin diagram of the symmetry group, we have one single equation. And here I use this notations, which also Volodya had introduced. So basically, Q is just a Baxter polynomial. And R and B are some generalizations of these quantities, which involve this inverse Zhukovsky transformation. And then energy for a long operator can be computed by the sum once these equations are satisfied. So that's a complete solution, but for the infinitely long operators. And now, as you know, there are this such tricks as this torus. And it means that we can compute partition function into different ways, once quantizing in time direction, another time quantizing in sigma direction, and then we will get two different sums for the partition function, one for the spectrum for this system and another for another one. And this is kind of Poisson resummation formula, but then, oops, where are you? The trick is to take R to infinity, then only the leading term survives in this term. And in the right-hand side, we have a spectrum of infinite volume system, which we, as I showed you, know very well. And then, knowing just spectrum of infinite radius, we can compute at least ground state energy exactly for any volume. And then there are some tricks how to extend it for first excitations. And, here it's important to remark that, in fact, theory is not relativistic invariant, and these two partition functions are actually partition function of two different theories, which is called mirror theory. So our goal now is to compute the right-hand side of this expression. And you see it is some sum, and when R goes to infinity, the spectrum becomes very dense. It's almost continuous. And thus, the sum is actually an integral. And the main contribution to this integral comes from one single saddle point configuration. And our goal is just to identify this saddle point configuration. For that end, let's take some simple beta equation, and let's take the limit L to infinity. Then what we see, if we take some root with some small, with some imaginary part, the left-hand side is exponentially big. And then the only way to compensate this explosion in the left-hand side is to sit on the pole of the right-hand side. And then we see that we must have another root which is separated approximately by I. And you see from numerics, it's indeed the case in many situations, root seems to be separated by I. So with the numerics, we had to use 50 digits to actually see the difference with I. And however, in ADS-CFT, the structure of bound states is slightly more complicated, but not much more complicated. And for example, there are obvious bound states coming from middle node, some similar bound states for this node. Then fermions, they can't form bound states because they're fermions, they hate each other. But they can form bound states with the help of some bosons in the middle. And this funny configuration For us, at least, it looks like a pyramid, and that's the reason we denote, we use this notation. So if many people were confused when we use this notation, but actually it just comes from this physical picture of bound state. And all this picture was transferred to mirror theory, and what's important feature of mirror theory is that support for fermions is somehow limited, and that's important point to fix integral equations. But so to each of this bound state, we associate density. So we describe the state which gives the saddle point the main contribution to the sum in the right-hand side. We describe this configuration by some densities, and y is some functional of densities. It's not important which particular form it is. And then the saddle point equation, it turns out to be very simple in terms of this y. So it's just functional equation where plus and minus stays for shift by I over 2 or minus I over 2. Okay, so it's very simple equation for the saddle point. And once it is solved, the energy, the ground state energy, is given by this expression. However, as I said, ground state energy is not something very interesting because it's BPS vacuum. In our case, it has been completely protected and it's triviality. So actually what we are interested in is to write some equation for excited state. And that only means we have to add some extra term to the sum, which actually implies that we are picking some poles. You see, when y is equal to minus 1, here we have some logarithmic singularity, and then we integrate by parts, and we pick this pole, and we get this extra term. This is a trick by Dorian Tateo, and also Bajanov, Lukyanov, the Malochikov were using something similar. And then in lattice models, in integrable lattice models, it's possible actually to derive this equation from the first principles, just from explicit, exact, and microscopical description of the theory. But this equation, it stays as it was. So it is valid for ground state, it is valid for all excited state. So actually it seems to be too general, and some people even claim it is useless. However, with one important ingredient, it becomes a very powerful tool to compute the spectrum. Namely, let's take the limit when r goes to infinity. This limit basically means, I don't want to go into details, that we have to send all y's corresponding to this middle node, y's which describes the density of this middle node root bound states, to zero. And then the system of functional equations decouples into two wings. So this y's, they belong to this lattice, and y's in the right-hand side don't speak with y's in the left-hand side. And then rewriting it in terms of Hirota equation, which is just a reparametrization of y in terms of t's. So instead of y, we just use t's, and then this equation means this equation. So why do I like this equation more than that one? Both looks more or less equivalently massive. However, this equation reminds equation for characters. So actually t's, there are some, I don't know, some generalizations of characters. And actually one can easily check that we can construct such generalization of characters, which is a transfer matrix. Namely, we take S matrix of the asymptotical S matrix for the scattering in infinite volume theory, and we multiply several of them and take trace in some representation. Then we will get some operator, but actually due to Young-Baxter relations, all the T for all different representations, they commute with each other, and we can diagonalize them at the same time. And what happens is the form. If we take a representation to be in the corresponding to the Young tableau with A rows and S other things, then we exactly get a solution. Each eigenvalue of this T will give us solution for the Hirota equation. So we will get as many solutions to the Hirota equation and equivalently to the Y system as many eigenvalues of transfer matrices there are. And how many eigenvalues of transfer matrices there are? As many as solutions of beta equation. So basically, asymptotical solution of a Y system is in one-to-one correspondence with a solution of beta ansatz equation. That's important. Huh? Sorry?
In all models.
Yeah, it's very general. Yeah. I mean, what's not general is probably Young tableau, which you probably not have for all kind of symmetries, but okay. So that's very general. So for arbitrary model, we can construct in this way a large L solution, large L solution to the Y system. And then actually at that point, the problem is solved completely. And because solution now is fixed of Y system. If we say that we want solution of Y system, which at L going to infinity gives us some fixed asymptotical solution, then, I mean, there is only unique solution which matches the solution with a given L to infinity asymptotics, okay? So now with fixed asymptotical solution, we completely fix the solution which we want to find of Y system. That's the logic. So in principle, at that point, one can say the problem is solved in some sense, but of course we want to see some numbers. So I have lots of space on this slide, but I'm not going to show you explicit form of S matrix with all matrix elements, because there is some trick to compute the transfer matrices just using some simple generating functional, which you can find in some paper of Beisert. And then expanding this functional in powers of this shift operators, you will get all T with one index 1 and another S, and then all the others you can generate by Bajanov-Rishi-Tikhin formula. For example, so basically this short code in Mathematica will give you arbitrarily transfer matrix for any representation, okay? So it is absolutely explicit now how to compute any transfer matrix, and you don't need to know what is exactly the S matrix in a given representation, okay? Of course, it's important then to check that all this works, and that was done by explicit check of all these equations was done quite recently. Okay. Now I explained to you that in principle, highly theoretically, the problem is solved. But now let's apply to some simple operator and see how actually we can solve it. So it happens so that L to infinity limit and J is the coupling going to zero is in some sense the same, because in both limits you see this middle node Y is suppressed. So here it's suppressed by power 8. And just using the explicit formulas I showed you above, you can expand when in the limit J go into zero. And you will find for the Kanishi operator this result, which is the result of Yannick, and it reproduces the explicit for loop Feynman diagram computation. Okay, so but actually you see you can take any operator if you know some configuration of beta roots, explicit or numerical, you can pick it, the configuration of roots, substitute it into transfer matrices, which I showed you above, and the straightforward exercise to compute the first correction to the beta ansatz using these formulas. Then, of course, five loops is slightly more complicated, and that was done recently by Yannick. Of course, that's very good, what I said, that having L to infinity solution, we can now gradually decrease L, and each time linearize and Y system around this asymptotical solution and solving this linearized form of Y system, which usually has the unique solution. But technically, it's much better just to take TBA equation. At least at the moment, we didn't figure out some better way, but probably it's possible. So these equations were obtained by these people. However, we want these equations for excited states. Equations for excited states were only obtained, were only written in our paper. And the reason why we were so brave to put them in our paper is the following, because as I explained, we know asymptotical solution. So let's check these terms when L goes to infinity. L goes to infinity, as I said, implies that Y middle node with this black circle goes to zero. Then that just means we have to drop these terms. Then if we substitute this Y in terms of transfer matrices, we should get a match, provided these equations are correct. And then that's a very non-trivial check of these equations, okay? But in principle, it is some kind of Doria-Tateo trick, which is used here. But we did some additional check that this equation passes through our infinite L solution. So now we are going to use this equation for actual computation. And the smart thing to do, of course, not to solve infinitely many solutions, but truncate the solution at some value, some large value of n. What happens, it's very important to subtract asymptotics from this y, and then you see we subtracted asymptotics, the log of y with n decreases very fast. So indeed, we can truncate very efficiently, and like 25 y function gives already very good precision with 3 digits for the result. And then what we do, we pick our L to infinity solution, substitute it to the right-hand side, and evaluate left-hand side, substitute it again. So basically, we move along this line. It's a little bit simpler equation, but still, some people wonder how to solve it. okay, and then these equations, they have to be also, accomplished by exact Beta-Ansatz equation, which is, as Volody explained to you, is just a condition that y middle node is equal to -1. But here there is a tricky point that TBA equations, which I showed you on the previous slide, they only give you y's for the mirror kinematics. And we have to evaluate this y on physical sheet. And that just implies we have to analytically continue under the cut, okay? And that we did in our paper, so the equation become a little bit more messy, but we just didn't try to simplify them, actually. And then you see this term is just IFS phase. It's just IFS, bare IFS equation. And then all in red is, you can say it's wrapping correction, but it's exact additional phase coming from finite size effects. And what mysteriously we found from numerics is that this phase for some value of lambda, actually equal to 700, is with high precision purely imaginary number, which implies that the beta equations are modified just by a phase. And then the beta roots are still real. That's a very important miracle which told us that we're on the right track. And also, we can see what is our precision from this evaluation. So now we have enough equation, and I described you the method. Now it's just a matter of time and of computer power to compute them. So we got some points. And now let's discuss large lambda fits of these points. So let's start by fitting in expansion in lambda to 1/4. So of course we know that the leading coefficient should be 2. It's what we expect from all. And indeed one can see this dashed line is actually 2 plus some correction. So it's, of course, it matches the two, which is already a non-trivial check. But let's see the sublevelling coefficient, and we see it's very, very small, which actually means that we can drop it. Let's drop it and see what kind of fit it produced. And we see that now that number is becoming more and more, more like two, right? So it looks... Oh, it was less like two. Now it is much... Yeah, error bars, you can see they are here, but you can see them because they are of order 0, 0, 0, 1. Okay? So they are below the resolution of this projector, unfortunately. Okay, so now fixing this coefficient to be also 2, we see, and we see this coefficient also goes to 0. So assuming that it's 0, we get that. So it seems that expansion actually goes in powers of 1 over square root. Of course, it's better precision is needed to make a conclusion, but at least first three coefficients are clearly 2, 0, and 2, okay, if you believe in science. And then let me show you some funny pictures. This... So we were computing during the night, and each iteration, when it was accomplished, the computer was sending the result to our server, and then we combined all the data to make this plot. And you see, starting from some messy configurations, this point during the night really approaching the smooth curve, which is quite spectacular. And sometimes you can't sleep before... Some points really go down. Yeah, because the reason is that we use different parameters. Actually, if you just naively solve equation x equal to f of x by iterations, it's not always convergent. So actually what one should do is to introduce some... Sorry, where is the reason? Okay, let me write here. Xn. Where alpha is between 0 and 1. So sometimes to ensure convergence, it's better to take alpha small. It's also was one of the tricks Dori and Tateo was using. I mean, if you just take one, for example, it was not convergent. Just, I mean, it's just property of the iteration method, okay? Because you sometimes you must take this alpha to be sufficiently small to ensure convergence. And then just to be sure that finally it will converge, we, for some points which we are doing first night, we took alpha bigger than for some points which we are doing the next night. And be very sure that it's worked. And then there are some miracles. I already said that we predicted several integers, which seems to be integers with a good precision. And then also we observed that exact bit ansatz modified just by a phase, which is also quite spectacular. And I also want to thank Porter University for the 20 computers we were using, and Wolfram for providing us a license for our mathematical school, which we were, however, misusing for our computation. And now let me comment about the results of Reuben and Zeitman. They predicted coefficient instead of 2, just 1. And here I have some plots. So 1, it could have correction of order of this. And then... they're inside this interval. And then that is bit ansatz, what gives asymptotical bit ansatz, and then I can pick the first wrapping correction, and provided it is small, that's, that should give me a good approximation to which interval the point should fit. And we see they completely mismatch each other. So in principle, of course, you can take this coefficient 10 or something, but that looks... unreasonable. Or you can assume that the expansion not in the powers of 1 over square root of lambda, and then you can do the job with a smaller coefficient, but still I think it looks that they can't go one into another. So I arrive to my conclusions. So now we proved that Y system is actually not just a theoretical tool, but also a powerful computational tool for the spectrum for this particular case of a DSFT. Of course, it was before known. So we reproduced the leading and the constant from the string computation of quasi-classics. And now, in principle, any SL2 operator could be computed in the same fashion. But still, as already Sergey mentioned, generalization to other sectors is still to be done. I mean, in the sense that we don't know the integral equation for the other sectors, which can be used for numerics. But in principle, you can use Y system, but I don't know how much you can get. And then, of course, it's better to reproduce this 2, 0, and 2 analytical at some point. And also one can try to generalize to other CFTs where we also have some conjecture of what kind of Y system it should be. Thank you.
Okay, so by some miracle we're back on schedule, so we have time for questions.
Well, just some programming in corner, the y2, 2 for the functional form of the equation. And can you check this? Your numerical result is in agreement with the functional form of the Y system at the corner. I mean, Feynman.
Indeed, in functional form, there is one less equation than Y function. But if you accomplish it with the conditions that, so fermion, there are two fermions. And if you accomplish it with the conditions that actually two fermions, they are connected by analytical continuation, then I think you have enough equations. No, then that's a very local equation, I think, right? That basically... That's quite local functional equation, right? So you can throw away that equation which you don't like and use that one instead, I think.
So does it mean that integrability is now proved? Or maybe you can list the assumptions that you base your calculations on.
Of course, we use integrability and the DSFT correspondence. But, we use many assumptions, but hopefully one day we will reduce the number of assumptions. So integrability, idea CFT correspondence, then string hypothesis, then equation, this procedure for excited states, then Y system by itself. But since everything matches together and there are so many interplays between different approaches and there are so many signs that we are on the right track, I hope one day it will be absolutely rigorous.
Could you
Yes. Continue
your plot to weak coupling? So if you show your plot, which points on it you actually know from where? So say if we look at small lambda,
My point was to take some point of lambda where both correction to your prediction and correction to Betanzas are small. So for that, I pick this 200 where you see it's around 0.05, the correction to Betanzas, and also something around that for your prediction. So that's...
Yeah, so the question is how sure you are that we are talking about the same state?
For that, I'm absolutely not sure.
In the case of some relativistic models, there is a hybrid type of system where you keep some Y nodes and also somehow sum up a semi-infinite chain of Y nodes using a nonlinear integral equation type variable. Question is, two questions, whether this is possible here, and secondly, whether it would be technically useful.
I hope it, there are many simplifications one can do with this equation, but our idea was just to make some brute force, low precision numerics, which then we can use to test different approaches.
Okay, I have a simple question. So we've had two talks this morning with the this integral equation TBA. Are they the same or not?
That's a very good question. So first of all, we have excited states. And,
for the ground state.
I can't say for sure at the moment.
So how come?
I agree. That's not proper.
So maybe that's a question for homework for you too, to work out the equation are the same or not?
Exactly.
So the five-loop result for Konishi is known. Can you check it numerically?
Sorry?
The five-loop result for Konishi is known. I mean, you're doing all-loop Konishi. Can you check at least numerically five-loop Konishi?
So I think we already discussed it, but let me repeat. So our precision is 0, 0, 0. And convergence of the perturbation theory is believed, the radius of convergence is 1/4. And you want me to find the coefficient in front of that, which is much smaller than the current precision. So we have to increase precision and then we will check it. Or there are better ways actually to do. One should do some analytical work before, of course. Because it's not designed for comparison with perturbation theory at the moment.
I have a question. How do you estimate the numerical error you are doing? Do you do it at all?
We increase all cuts, all precisions by twice, and we see which digits change. So that's the most stupid and most efficient way to estimate the precision.
If you have some logarithms, then that doesn't work.
Here convergence is 1/n². So even if there is log, still 1/n² log. So.
Okay, I have a quick question. Can you comment on this lack of mu terms? And from the gauge theory side, would you expect to see mu terms?
It's not completely clear to me. So Sergei would say we expect, but...
I have a worry with that, because in the case of, say, the perturbed Yang-Li model, you could write down the wrong set of excited state equations with the wrong similarities, and then you get no mu terms, but you would still match the data to five digits or so.
So I'm not convinced that with just
three digits you can be sure that you've got the right equations. But anyway.
In Lian, the way you are adding excitation is slightly different. Actually, you are considering the particle itself as being a composite state of two particles.
Crucial to get the mu terms out.
Yeah, and why do you do that? You do that to match, actually, the large L asymptotic.
You could, for some states, you could match it in another way, which would then give you results.
But for one single state, it's the only way to match the large L asymptotic is to consider a particle to be bound state of two particles. Otherwise, you have some extra singularities, and that's actually the trick to kill them. But here we didn't find any singularities which we have to kill, so there is no reason at least. Maybe we didn't notice some singularity.
It is known that the strong coupling expansion is asymptotic, it has zero radius of convergence. Uh-huh. Is there any way to easily see this from the Y system or from TBA?
Maybe. I don't know. Since I'm looking forward to have some analytical results as strong coupling.
But you see it in your
calculation? From the numerics, it's a bit hard. You mean at weak coupling? That's what Adam told me.
No, but how do you, can you, for example, prove that your Y system has a finite radius? I mean, that's a finite radius of conversion. Can you estimate that at weak coupling?
At weak coupling, the only analytical result we have is four loops. So,
that's something we would expect from large N, right?
But actually, no. The reason for this, for the finite radius of convergence, is the singularity in the dispersion relation. And this dispersion relation is intensively used inside the integral equation. So, for imaginary lambdas.
Yeah, but
no, I mean, this singularity is just due to singularity inside the kernel, because the Zhukovsky transformation is ill-defined at I over 4.
Okay. Question. Can you prove that there's a Konishi state has a finite radius of conversion?
No. But even for Beat-Ansatz, can you prove it? For asymptotical Beat-Ansatz, can you prove it?
I think so, yeah.
So thanks again for all this knowledge.